From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, we can have maybe too much fun this time of year. Sports fans, hunting fans, just regular Montana folk. Kind of love it. Kind of getting our communities together to support something, support our kids. There ain't nothing like it around. And we've got some good matchups as we look at what's happening. State championships to be decided this year. For crying out loud, this Cat Grizz matchup, this Brawl of the Wild matchup, it's a super matchup. But look at Glacier and Bozeman. That's a super matchup. Columbia Falls and Dillon, Manhattan, Florence, Carlton. We need a super sportscaster to get us up to speed on that. And guess what? Lockie Erickson is here in studio today on Voices of Montana. It is Friday, only two more working days this week. You keep hanging in there. Thank you for being here as well, making us part of your Montana mornings. Two decades strong and working on three. And we'll just keep kicking at it, okay? Keep hacking away at it sometimes, too. And sometimes we'll be asleep at the switch. But that's where you come in every day. Thank you again for being here. It's 866-627-5483. You want to call in today? Yes, we're moving into the area of sports again. It's real fun. It's that time of year. But we're so connected to our high schools and our communities. And so let's get into it here. Again, Rocky Erickson in studio. Rocky Erickson Sports, future Hofer Hall of Famer. Rocky, it's good to see you, man. How you been? How was the sports season for you?
It's been fantastic. Every Friday night, I announced a high school football game on radio. Every Saturday, I did a TV game in the Frontier Conference. And my wife says I have a face that was made for radio, but I still did a little TV.
Well, you've been doing it for a number of years, too. 10-time Montana Sportscaster of the Year. And you were saying as you come on in, and you know, if you guys know Rocky, and everybody does, because Rocky is a very affable guy, and he gets around and loves to talk with you. You were saying 101st and 102nd title game that you'll be broadcasting this weekend?
I'm old, Tom.
Oh, you're old!
No, you're you know, not. I was doing a TV game last year. And the producer said, we go live in 30 seconds. And I looked over and my young color commentator, beads of sweat pouring down his face. And he said, Mr. Erickson, I have to be honest with you. I'm really nervous. This is my very first game. And then he said, how many games have you broadcast? And I said, you know, I don't keep track. It's probably north of 4,000. But I do keep track of state championship games. My first state championship was a 1983 Class A Deer Lodge and Livingston. Correll Furch scored 45 points as Livingston won 104-64. And that was my first ever state championship game. I've done some soccer title games. I really enjoy doing state track and football and basketball. So tonight in Bozeman, the AA state championship with Glacier will be 101. And then coming up tomorrow in Dillon, the Class A championship with Columbia Falls is the 102nd state championship. And, Tom, that just shows you how old I am.
Well, I have no comment for that because I got you beat in that regard, okay? All those years and all those memories, it's probably hard to, and people are probably asking you this all the time, what are your favorite memories? You'll go into the western side of the state and you'll, what are your favorite western Montana memories? And what are your favorite Highline memories? Do you get that question a lot? And is your answer different? Always the same?
I speak a lot and I get people to come up to me. Thank you so much for doing that story on our son. We really appreciate it. They think I remember every single sports show I've ever produced in my entire life, and guess what? I don't. You know, when I'm asked, like, what's the most exciting state football championship game, it'd have to be in 1997. Billings West High was playing Bozeman. Bozeman had a phenomenal kicker, Travis Dorsch, who went and played at Purdue. He played in the National Football League, and Dorsch attempted a 45-yard field goal for the win. It was 37-35. West High led. His kick went wide left, and West High won their first ever state championship.
In 97?
1997.
That was their first ever? Wow. I just remember West High doing some games, some Class A games. They were really, they had that's the high bar, I think, was Billings West High. But a lot of schools have raised their game since then, too.
You know, I think CMR, what Jack Johnson accomplished at CMR, you know, winning 13 state championships, the all-time winningest coach. You know, Jack coached 40 years at CMR, and he only had four losing seasons. I mean, what he accomplished was amazing, and everybody had to get better. I mean, what Helena Capital has accomplished since they started their football program, they've only had five losing seasons in school history. I mean, it's incredible what they've done. It's the same thing in the Frontier Conference. When Mike Van Deese's team at Carroll College won those six national championships in 8 years, everybody else had to get better, and they did. And now the Frontier Conference is the very best conference in all of NAIA.
Levi Weshey, speaking of folks that have that have done well, I suppose, to put it that way, maybe even incredibly well, at Bozeman. Head coach there. Let's talk about this matchup as well. But what's interesting is that, of course, it was a very large school. The Gallatin school came in there. It split up their team, so to speak, but it didn't hurt them a bit, or it actually just gave more kids that opportunity to rise, and they did in that community.
I was hoping for a Gallatin-Bozeman state championship. They were on the opposite sides of the bracket. Gallatin finished 9-2. They had Quinn Clark, whose dad, Ken, was one of the all-time leading rushers at Nebraska. Quinn Clark, the Gallatin wide receiver, will play at Nebraska. Now, the last time two schools from the same city played in a title game was 2003, when Billings Senior and Skyview met in the state championship. But, you know, it's going to be Glacier-Bozeman. Glacier's got one loss. They lost to Butte this year. These two teams are so even. It's incredible. They both average around 40 points a game. They both give up about 10 points a game. But Glacier has a sophomore quarterback. I mean, a sophomore quarterback at the AA level, his name is Jackson Presley, 6'3", 195-pound sophomore, 27 touchdowns this year, and he's only throwing two interceptions. He's completing 67% of his passes. He's going to be one of the all-time passing leaders in state history, really? If he stays healthy.
And playing for Coach Grady Bennett is not going to hurt him there either.
You know, Grady Bennett likes to throw the ball, former quarterback with the Montana Grizzlies. And, Grady's got three or four of the top 20 all-time passing leaders on my list already. He's just going to add another one with Presley.
What do you think is going to happen in this matchup?
You know, Bozeman, they're both loaded with seniors. I mean, you know, senior-dominated team, especially Bozeman. And Bozeman can run. I mean, if you can run, Tom, at any level of football, you can have some success. And the Hawks average almost 200 yards a game on the ground. Brady Casagrande, you know, a 6'1", 200-pound junior, he's rushed for over 700 yards this year, averaging almost 6 yards a carry. If Bozeman can run, and if they can contain the pass, I think Bozeman can come out on top. But this is going to be a very, very competitive game. I'm looking forward to it.
The coaching styles are a little bit different as well, but I think they're the same, or they share that real love for the students, and they share that real love for the game, and I think they share that real love for the community as well.
You know, Grady Bennett has been the only football coach at Glacier. Now, he had a tough decision to make when they asked him, do you want to stay at Flathead or do you want to go to the new school, Glacier? And remember who the sophomore quarterback was at Flathead at that time, a guy by the name of Brock Osweiler, and he had to choose, like, well, if I go to Glacier, I don't get to coach Brock. And he went to Glacier. It all worked out. But that was a tough decision. Russell McCarville was the head coach at Flathead at that time. And my first ever job after college was in 1982. Russell McCarville was the starting quarterback in Glendive. For the Red Devils, he was, you know, 5'9", and Brock Osweiler, 6'7". And I met Brock for the first time. Russell introduced me, and I said, you know, I announce your games, Brock. I announce Russell's games. And, you know, he was just so much of a better player than you.
No doubt. Rocky Erickson is with us again. It's Rocky Erickson Sports has been broadcasting in Montana, as I say, a future Hall of Famer for sure, but has brought us a lot of memories and has helped us, you know, I guess, understand the commitment it takes to play the game. I think you do that, Rocky. I think when you talk with these kids and when you broadcast, you know their commitment, and that comes out. Tell us about the commitment that it takes. Maybe nowadays it might be a little bit different than it was earlier, because there just seems to be a whole lot of outside pressure and different things that yeah. can, you know, filter in there.
Great question, Tom, as a fellow sportscaster. I was speaking with somebody the other day at breakfast, and he says, do you really enjoy announcing games still? And I blew him away when I said, the thing I enjoy most is preparing to announce a game. And I spend, you know, a couple of hours on a regular high school game to, you know, get all the numbers put together and my stat sheets. For a TV game is probably 3 hours of prep time. And that's what I enjoy the most. You know, again, Tom, I'm a little strange. So I don't know what else to say.
These are game notes?
These are game notes.
Nobody else can read those, I think.
No, there's
yeah.
no way.
Yeah.
No.
I love that. Look, I'm going to take a break. We're going to queue up some of these games here as well. But next, our friend Mike Hammer from KOFI in Kalispell is going to join us here. I know that you're doing the Columbia Falls and Beaverhead County, the Dillon game, the championship tomorrow for NFHS. Mike has been covering those Wildcats all year long. And, of course, a friend of ours, so we'll get him on the line here and set the stage for that one. Again, that is tomorrow, too. But there's still a lot to come. Manhattan and Florence Carlton, Freud, Medicine Lake, and Centerville in the six man. So let's take a break. Come on back with more. We are looking and overlooking what could happen this weekend, or just the fun that I think that folks can expect. And it's all centered around sports, but it's really centered around the values, I think, that we learn from sports. That's on display this weekend, at least here in Montana. Appreciate that. Rocky Erickson on board. This is From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Have you ever smelled rotten eggs or skunk spray?
Hey, you.
It's a powerful and unpleasant stench, which is precisely why we at Northwestern Energy add that sulfur odor to our natural gas. Natural gas can safely be used for cooking or heating your home. But if it leaks out of these systems, it can be dangerous. So if you smell a skunk in your home, stop what you're doing, get outside, and give us a call at Northwestern Energy.
I think I laughed right out loud, or maybe to myself, excuse me, when Cody said, okay, it's time to get back to work. Well, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. We're talking here sports today because big weekend, of course, for those five championships on the gridiron to be determined. Rocky Erickson from Rocky Erickson Sports is here. He does a daily sports cast as well, a 10-time Montana Sportscaster of the Year, legendary, and he's a sports historian as well. So there's a lot to share there. You can catch his programs on various stations. He does stories and then sports scores and things like that. RockyErickSonSports.com. Let's go to, and Rocky, thanks again. I appreciate you being here. You know this guy named Mike Hammer, don't you?
He's famous.
Oh, my gosh, Hammer. It's Hammer time, and when isn't it? Mike Hammer from KOFI in Kalispell. He's the voice of the Columbia Falls Wildcats and a good friend. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Tommy. Good morning, Rocky.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Why don't you, what's top of your mind? If somebody was to ask you, Mike, what do you make of this game? What's going to happen? What would you say?
You know, covering them from the beginning of the year, they've been talking about this group since they were eighth graders. And now those seniors, they're just hitting on all levels. And it starts with their quarterback and Cody Schweikert. And you were just talking, Rocky was just talking about a very talented quarterback at Glacier High School that's completing about 67% of his passes. Cody on the year, I don't think I've ever seen this at the high school level. He is completing 78% of his passes. He's 173 against 222. He's thrown for over 2,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and then add 19 more touchdowns on the ground. Commit for the Grizzlies. And, boy, he does it on both sides of the ball. He's also a very talented state linebacker as well. So everything kind of revolves around him, but they have so many moving parts. They have so many great skill guys. Their offensive line, it's something that you don't hear much about, but, boy, they have been so good at protecting Cody and blocking for both him and their running backs. They've been fantastic this year. And it's a team that started 2-2. One of those losses was to Dillon back in September, and they avenged a earlier loss, an overtime loss at Whitefish, by shutting out and blowing out Whitefish in the first round of the playoffs, 42-0. And their defense has been very, very stingy. They've given up less than 10 points a game. Dillon comes in undefeated. They have gotten much better since that first matchup as well. And they're also averaging right around 10 points a game. So it might be a defensive battle tomorrow down there at Vigilante Field in Dillon.
You know, Mike, I'm glad you mentioned the Cody's completion, 78%. That, I mean, I've done this for 40 years. That's unheard of. You know, when they lost to Dillon, he was 24 of 29. Against Big Fork, he was 25 of 29. Whitefish, 18 of 20. Corvallis, 12 of 15. You know, in his career, he's got 58 touchdowns, just 14 picks, over 6,300 yards, eighth best among Class A quarterbacks in state history, and he leads the team in tackles and rushing. I mean, if Cody does not win the Gatorade Player of the Year award, there is something really, really wrong.
I'm right with you, Rocky. I have never seen anything like it before, especially the 78% completion rate at a high school level. You don't see that at a college level.
Well, tell us how that happens then. I mean, who's he throwing to that's not dropping the ball?
Well, he's got a lot of talented receivers. Jace Hill is the leader amongst those. And he has, you know, he's piled up his stats on the season. You'll also see him on the basketball court coming up in just a couple weeks now. They've got, Chance Miller had a really nice catch and completion throughout the year. He's just kind of throwing it all around. That's a good thing about the Wildcats. You can't really key on anybody because they're a moving part at all times, and they just make sure everybody touches the ball. Their throwing and passing game is really run right into their running game. It's fun to watch. Now, the last couple of games with the Wildcats, though, they're at Billings Central and then at against Corvallis last week, has been more of, we're going to get a lead, and then you're going to try to stop Cody Schweikert from running 3 yards on every carry. And he was over 30 carries last week against Corvallis. So that's the thing you have to guard against if you're the opponent. You cannot get down to this team because then they just flex their muscle, and not only a great defensive team, but they'll keep the clock running as well.
You know, they have five wide receivers with more than 20 passes. That's, you know, nobody else in the state has done that. You know, it's not just one or two key receivers that they have in the lineup. It's just a phenomenal team. 17 seniors on their roster. And, you know, there's not double-A teams don't have 17 seniors on their roster. I mean, that is just, that's incredible. So when Mike says they're, you know, a senior-dominated team, they really are.
And they've been talking about this since, what'd you say, age 8 or 8th grade, Mike? About that dynamic, about growing up in a community like that and you know, dedicating yourself to a sport, what that does.
Yeah, it's fun to talk to Cody about that because his dad, Jackson, is the head coach. So he used to be there when his older brother, Ike, was playing for the Wildcats, and he was kind of a, you know, a water boy and help out. So he's been around the Wildcats for quite a while. And then you start seeing him get into his high school years with a very talented group of seniors that we're seeing this year. And it's been fun to watch their progress since eighth grade now as seniors and hoping to cap it off with a title on Saturday in Dillon.
Mike, you've seen Cody play for years, and he's going to go to the Grizz. You know, I think he's going to be a key player for the Grizzlies someday.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about the prototype quarterback, and it's changed, and there's different types, but Cody's 6'4", 220. He happens to love going to the weight room. He loves working out, keeping in shape. And this is a kid that has grown quite a bit through high school, and he's a big, tough, strong kid. And whether they use him at quarterback, at linebacker, I don't think the Grizzlies can go wrong.
I'm going to take a break here, and we're going to flip the switch. This is Mike Hammer from KOFI in Kalispell, is the voice of the Columbia Falls Wildcats. I'm going to have you talk about Dylan. Of course, we're our affiliate there, with a nod to Lee Pelletier and everybody at KDBM. We'll flip this switch and then talk about the Beavers as we look at this matchup. And more to come here. Rocky Erickson in studio. It's Tom Schultz alongside as well.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Big weekend for communities and students and athletes and coaches and just a lot of fun out there. I wish you all the best. I hope you're all playing to the best of your ability, and sportsmanship is at the highest level as well. Get out there and enjoy. Tom Schultz alongside, it's Voices of Montana. Rocky Erickson from RockyErickSonSports.com is in studio here. You know Rocky. And then also Mike Hammer, voice of the Columbia Falls Wildcats. They've got a matchup, state championship matchup in Dillon. That'll be this weekend. Columbia Falls, Mike, is the fourth seed, and Dillon out of the West, and Dillon is the top seed out of the West. So those Wildcats, you said they dropped a couple of games. I want to Dillon. I want to flip the switch a little bit, and let's talk about what the Beavers will bring to the game.
Well, they're led by a very talented quarterback as well, and he's going to be the focus. Everything kind of goes through him. He's a very talented senior quarterback, 6 foot, 185-pound, Key Christensen. But out of the backfield as well, you have Cale Conan, and he is a load. Once he gets going, I wouldn't want to step in front of him because he's going to run you over. And it's going to be, you know, I just look at this game, and I feel it's going to be a little bit more tactical than last week's game, where it was kind of a smash-mouth game, because both of these teams can throw the ball as well. And Columbia Falls just seems to kind of pick and choose, well, what they need to do each and every game. That's what's been interesting with them this year. They've gone, you know, and scored over 50 points, but they've also got into a game like last week at Corvallis, where they had to just really earn every yard that they got against what was then the top-ranked defensive team in the state in the Corvallis Blue Devils.
You know, when you look at the Dillon, they've had a tough row through the playoffs. 28, they were challenged anyway, 28-21. They beat Havre in the quarterfinals and then knocked off the defending champion Fergus Eagles by a score of 26-14. So, Rocky, what do you got on Dillon? They're a little bit battle-tested, too.
You know, they also have a dual-threat quarterback, Key Christensen. Their quarterback has also rushed for 550 yards on the season. You know, Dillon has a lot of success on the ground. I mean, they average over 6 yards a carry, and they average almost 200 yards a game on the ground. You know, Mike alluded to this earlier. You know, on paper, you know, Columbia Falls averages 36 points a game. Dillon averages 36. Columbia Falls gives up 10 points a game. Dillon gives up 10 points a game. So, you know, Mike, I'm thinking triple overtime thriller.
Hey, that'd be all right with me. It's, you know, it's going to be fun to be there at Vigilante Field. I got my start in Dillon and did a couple of years with the Dillon Beavers before moving this way. So I know a lot of the players over there. Jason Truman, you remember his name on up in Eureka and at Western Montana College. I actually talked to him when they were here back in September, and I said, Jason, these just might be the two best teams in the state. What do you think? And he says, we'll meet you in the Final Four. Well, it wasn't the Final Four. It was the final game of the whole season. So just looking forward to what should be just a fantastic matchup tomorrow.
And, Mike, talk about the atmosphere a little bit. We got about a minute here. But when I think this would be super, super electric for these two teams and communities.
Well, both the communities, both Dillon and Columbia Falls, very, very sports-minded. And they're going to be out in full force. I was surprised how many different Columbia Falls folks made it to Billings in that second round matchup, that quarterfinal matchup, because they were not as prominent as the Billings crowd there. But I mean, they were well represented last week in Corvallis as well. And Dillon, I'm sure that they're going to kind of fill the stands on that other side of the field as well. Dillon's going to be in full force because that's one of those communities that really get behind their school for sure.
Yeah, and a home crowd, home field crowd, man, that's Columbia Falls will have the hands full, that's for sure. Good luck to both teams. And Mike, you enjoy yourself. That probably goes without saying. But thanks for being on here, too.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be fun. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you down there, Rocky.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, and what about a Go Grizz, Mike, from you? You got that one for me?
Go Grizzlies!
Right. The baby. We'll take a break and come on back more. We'll talk about that Brawl of the Wild next.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
AARP Montana presents What You Need to Know About Social Security. Does the government use Social Security to fund other programs?
You know, I think a lot of people believe that the government raids Social Security, and while it is true that the government borrows money from Social Security, they're required to pay it back, and they usually pay it back in form of treasury bonds. I think the trigger word there is raiding Social Security, and that does not happen, but money is borrowed and then paid back.
For more tips, visit aarp.org/youearnedit.
Ah, the excitement, the nerves, I can't sit down, I can't stand up, I can't stand still, I can't wait for this game, I can't wait for this game to be over. There's a lot of machinations, these mental things going on in a lot of kids' minds, parents' minds, communities, coaches as well. It's that time of year. There's going to be championships determined this weekend. In fact, one tonight. Rocky Erickson from Rocky Erickson Sports and Montana's, legendary sportscaster. Rocky, do you get tired of hearing that, or you're okay with that?
No.
No, I know.
It's sad. You know, Jeff Walsh just put that in 406 Sports yesterday, called me legendary, and I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Don't do that yet,
no,
right?
No, no.
Okay, all right. Well, you are. I appreciate your humility as well, but you love what you're doing, and you haven't grown up, and you're not working for a living. So that's, thumbs up there. Hey, thanks for being here. Let's appreciate that. Want to look at some of these other key matchups. We did AA and A. And when you look at actually all of these games in the state championship this year, they look to be really close contests. Maybe not so like other years, but this year it seems to be.
It's going to be a great game in Manhattan. They're 11-1 on the year. They'll host Florence Carleton. Not only unbeaten, but Florence Carleton has won the last two state championships. Manhattan last won in 2020. That's going to be a big game in B, an eight-man football. Belt at home against Fairview. Now, Belt's three playoff games have outscored their opponents 174-12. Fairview's unbeaten on the year, 11-0. Last time they won a title was 2019. Belt won in 2016. And then in the high-scoring game of six-man football, all roads lead to Freud. Freud, Medicine Lake, the Red Hawks at home up against Centerville. Both teams are 11-0 on the season, and the numbers that Freud Lake are putting up are unbelievable. In the quarterfinals, they gave up 75 points to Chester Joplin Inverness, and they won 79-75. They gave up 70 points in the semis to Hartleton, and they won 82-70. So the last two games, Freud Lake has scored 79 and 82 in the postseason.
At one point, I think they were down by like 40 points as well, and came back in that one. And for people who don't understand the eight-man or the six-man game in particular, the field is it's shorter. It's about 80 yards, and it takes, for the six-man game, isn't it 15 yards for a first down?
15 yards for a first down.
Yeah.
4 points for a field goal. If you kick an extra point, which takes half the team, a snapper, a holder, and a kicker, you get 2 points. If you decide to run it in on a point after touchdown, you only get 1 point. So it's just the opposite. But it is a wide open brand of football. Everybody's eligible to catch a pass, including the center.
Isn't that fun? And I've seen one game, and I've done some class eight-man games as well. They don't call them class C because there's a lot of co-ops there as well, but it's eight-man and six-player. I don't know what else about it. It just strikes me as a 3 yard gain is a loss in a game like that, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, that never happens.
Yeah.
Whoever has the fastest player on the field, they can get around the corner. They usually win.
How do teams overcome the nerves and the excitement of a championship game?
These are 15, 16-year-old kids, and this is what they live for. I mean, to be able to play in a title game, that is huge for them. And that's why, you know, in Wyoming and North Dakota, they play all the state championships on one day at a particular location. And I don't see how you can take away the state championship, you know, from Dillon, or take it away from Freud and not, you know, not let Manhattan host the state championship this weekend. I like the way we do it in Montana. I hope we continue to do that. But why do we have all five state championships on the same weekend as Cat Grizz is beyond me.
It does create a little bit of conflict, doesn't it, from time to time. Let's move into this Cat Grizz matchup. And it's Cat Grizz this year because the Cats won last year. But I am donning my Grizz gear today. I've got some blue and gold in me, a little more maroon and silver. And you just can't sit on a fence in this game, can you?
Well, you know, you work at Northern Broadcasting. I mean, it is it's slanted a bit towards the Bobcats. I mean, President Taylor Brown, a former student body president at Montana State, you know, and Coulter and Travis went there. I mean,
they wear it on their sleeves, too,
yeah,
Rocky.
I mean, okay? This is you wearing a Grizzly shirt in Bobcat country. It's daring. It really is.
Well, they're also pretty humble folk too, but they love it when their Bobcats are winning. And honestly, if I look at this matchup all year long, the Bobcats have been more consistent. They look to be a more dangerous team into the playoffs. I talked earlier this week, and you can catch that on the podcast. We talked with Keaton Gologli and Riley Corcoran, Bobcat Grizz play-by-play announcers as well. Montana has turned things around since NAU, and this will be a big test. If you look at this matchup, Big Sky Conference, playoff seeding going on here, this really sort of sets the stage for not just this year, but for years to come when you're looking at Montana State, doesn't it?
You know, they've played 121 times, but a lot of people consider this to be the biggest Cat Grizz game ever. Never before has the outright Big Sky Conference title been on the line for the winner. Never before have both teams been ranked in the top four. The Grizzlies are ranked third. The Bobcats are ranked fourth. You win, you get home field advantage probably through the semifinals. The Bobcats have won 26 home games in a row, which is the longest in the FCS. The Grizzlies' five-year win-loss record at home, 26-2. So how important is that to play at home? Win or lose, both teams are going to the postseason.
That's the good thing, and hopefully a long run as well. They could be set for that. But you have, I think what sets the stage here is the Bobcats. They want to, with this win, solidify themselves as a top-notch, very top-notch program in the Big Sky Conference. If Montana wins, they sort of solidify their comeback to this top-notch level there.
Here's what it comes down to, and I know nothing about football, Tom, but the Bobcats average 302 yards a game on the ground. You know, touchdown Tommy Ballot from Butte High. That is number two in the FCS. I mean, over 300 yards rushing. That's incredible. But the Grizzlies have the number one rush defense in the Big Sky Conference, giving up just 84 yards a game. So that's going to be the key. If the Bobcats can successfully move the football on the ground, they're going to come out on top. If they're unable to do so, the Grizz win.
Both teams have pretty good special teams as well. They've been pretty consistent with the football. At times throughout the year, they've had their share of miscues with penalties and things like that. So there's going to be a human element in this game for sure. Rocky, speaking of the human element, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people appreciate, and I do, about how you present sports and how you help us relate to sports, but not just necessarily the sport or the activity itself, but the people that are behind the uniforms, so to speak. And when you get into those lives, you find things remarkable. I heard a story, and it is, as we honoring our veterans this month, it's Veterans Month. You go back to a 1941 game, and it was very impactful on the field and off.
I'm often asked what I feel is the most exciting Cat Grizz game ever played. I really don't have an answer to that. But I know what the most significant game ever played. That was a game that was played in 1941. On the cover of the game program that day was not a photo of a player, but a photo of a soldier. Everybody knew our nation was about to go to war. In the first half of that game played in Butte, Bobcats Bill Zupan scored two touchdowns. It was the first time the Bobcats had scored in the series in 6 years. But in the second half, Butte's Iso Naranchi would lead the Grizzlies to yet another win, their eighth in a row. 33 days after that game was played, the Japanese would bomb Pearl Harbor. Our country would enter World War II. 18 months later, the great Iso Naranchi was killed in World War II. And shortly after that, Butte High School renamed their football complex, Naranchi Stadium, what it's called to this day. Sadly, five of the 11 young men who started that 41 game for the Grizzlies did not make it home from the war. For the Bobcats, it was much worse. 10 of the 11 who started in the 1941 game gave the ultimate sacrifice for their country. There was no Cat Grizz game from 42 to 46. The game resumed in 1947. The Bobcats won. And leading the Bobcats to victory in that 1947 game was Bill Zupan, the only surviving starter from the game that was played in 1941.
Rocky Erickson again. Sports as a reflection of life. You know, that it's very much true in that regard. But sports is still just a game. And stories like that, it's a game played by people who have lives and cares and families and sacrifices that they have made for the country. I very much appreciate acknowledging that as a part of our sports arena. We're back with more here in just a bit.
Do you love beef? We do too. That's why the Montana Beef Council is proud to host the Montana Beef Directory, your one-stop shop for all your favorite beef cuts. From Sunburst to Dell and from Huson to Egalaca, you can find beef near you on the Montana Beef Directory. Plus, you'll find great cooking tips, recipes, and more.
Brought to you by Montana Beef Producers and Checkoff Dollars.
All right, a lot of seasons will come to a close here. Very successful seasons this weekend. Of course, the Cat Grizz matchup. We'll have more next week. Coulter Nuanez from Skyline Sports will join us. I think we got that lined up for Tuesday. Is in the FCS, that's the college level for Montana and Montana State. They're not in the playoffs yet, but they'll determine those playoff seedings and matchups on the other side of this weekend. A big part of that is how this one will turn out, the Cat Grizz matchup. But Rocky Erickson with us here in studio from RockyErickSonSports.com. NAIA is already in their playoffs.
It's going to be a huge game in Butte at Bob Green Field tomorrow as Montana Tech hosts Dickinson State in the first round of the NAIA playoffs. Montana Western is also in the playoffs. They got a first round bye. I'll be back in Dillon next week to do Montana Western's game, probably against the College of Idaho, another Frontier Conference team. But the Frontier Conference, Tom, it is the very best in NAIA football. We got three teams that have made the playoffs, and we're hoping Dickinson State plays in the North Star, and that conference has lost a couple of schools. We're hoping next year to include Dickinson State and the North Star in the Frontier Conference, and that would be huge for the Frontier.
Wow, that's interesting. And they have a new commissioner. I've not met the gentleman yet. I can't recall his name. But, I mean, that's – how big is that conference right now? I mean, it expanded maybe 3-4 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, we just added Arizona Christian this year to the Frontier, football only. And, you know, I already put in – I said, listen, I'll do any game in November – in Arizona, I'm all in. I'll even pay my expenses to go and announce the game. My son lives in Scottsdale, and we'll play golf. And I never got that opportunity this year. But I'm going to be their man in November in Arizona.
All right. Well, they could do worse, I would say. Yeah. What do you take away from this fall sports season? I mean, and it's hard to put things in perspective, especially when you've seen a number that the gray-haired Rocky Erickson would admit to. What do you take away from this fall season?
You know, for these young people that have the opportunity to play in that state championship game this weekend, it's going to be lifelong memories. I mean, for the rest of their life, they're going to be talking about, you know, well, let me tell you what I did in the state championship game in 2023. And they're going to exaggerate, you know. I mean, it's not going to be totally truthful, but that's okay, too.
Never missed a block in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one of their lifelong achievements that they're going to cherish for the rest of their life. And I hope, you know, during that action that they just, you know, look around and take a snapshot and just realize how fortunate they are to be in that particular situation.
And communities as well. What would be your take or your advice to them as they get behind their teams?
You know, I remember, you know, what they did in Fairfield when they had state championship games. And my friend Ross just texted me. He's listening, and he worked for the electric co-op. And they let him and a couple of guys, their job that day for the co-op was to clear the football field from snow. And, you know, they did the same thing when I was in Dillon a couple of weeks ago. You know, the community support is unreal. You don't think you go to Manhattan or Freud or Dillon and you're going to see every business plastered with, you know, support for their home team, because that's what it's all about. It's huge.
Who do you want to give a shout out to? Who helps Rocky Erickson?
My perfect wife, Christy. At the conclusion of every game, after I give the final score, I say to my perfect wife, Christy, I'm on my way home, and I'm never home on weekends. I mean, from the last weekend of August through the middle of March, you know, every Friday, every Saturday, I'm not home.
Well, you're a treasure for us, Rocky. You really are. I very much appreciate that. I don't mean just to blow it up, but I don't know how many years that I have been listening to you tell sports stories and give sports scores and bring those things to life. I mean, we talk about those sacrifices, and as you noted, there's sacrifices that surpass the field. But you help us understand that. And then you also help us have fun at the game, too, because we can't forget that is still what it's about, and it should be at every level of sports.
You're a kind young man, Tom. Thank you, sir.
I am a kind older man, Rocky. Why are we feeling our age? We should just be feeling just young again, right? Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. And you guys, welcome to the weekend. Cody Ross, in-studio engineer, thank you for being here as well. We'll continue talking sports next week, and hopefully we'll have fun with it throughout this fall season as well. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast, and join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on local stations all across Montana.